turn to it. Romans 8:28. We're going to now read it again. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. 2 Kings chapter number 5. Read just a couple of verses to you. If you will stand, you find your place there in verse number 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She said unto her mistress, "Why would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." I'm going to stop right there for now. You can be seated. Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you again for watching over. Class to be here. Lord, forgive me tonight as I preach. Pray give me words to say in Jesus' name. Amen. Back again tonight with a thought similar to the one I had Sunday night. I'm going to continue on with that. I said it might be a series, and now it's two messages. I don't know how long it'll go, but at least two so far. But I started Sunday night, and I thought, why do bad things happen to good people? And I preached on Joseph, and the life of Joseph. We asked the question, is Romans 8:28 really true? Do all things really work together for good to them that love God? Joseph was almost killed. He was abandoned, then he was sold into slavery. He was accused. He was thrown in prison for years to eventually get put in the position of second in command of Egypt. He went through all that in his life. All the while, you can see God's hand working and molding him into the man he needed to be put in the position as second in command of Egypt. Do all things work together for good to them that love God? In the life of Joseph, they definitely did. He had a long road with a lot of potholes in it, if you will. But God brought him through it, and God blessed him, and God used him to deliver the nation of Israel, just the family at that time. But the future nation of Israel delivered them from famine. We might not understand all that God is doing in our lives. It may not always make sense, might not always be fun on the way there, but God always has a plan, and it's going to work out in his will and his way. Nothing has happened in your life that has surprised God. Amen. Not one thing. It may not seem fair to us. At the time, God has a plan. Tonight, I want to continue on with that thought. Look at a little bit different of an example here. One I've never thought of much myself, and maybe you haven't either. Maybe you have. There is 2 Kings chapter number 5. We'll look at tonight at the life and the ministry of Naaman's maiden and see if all things work together for good in her life. Back to 2 Kings again. I read down to verse number 3. I'll pick up there in verse number 4. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that I mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out with me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Art not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather than when he saith to thee, wash and be clean?" Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh became again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." But he said, "As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, "Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice to other gods, but unto the Lord. And this thing, Lord, pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth to the house of Ramon and worship there, to worship there, and he leaveth on my hand, I bow myself in the house of Ramon. When I bow down myself in the house of Ramon, Lord, pardon thy servant in this thing." He sent him, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. I know you've probably read this story before, heard it preached before, I'm sure. Naaman the leper, he's cleansed by Elisha the prophet. The Lord used Elisha to cleanse Naaman the leper. You've heard the story. I'm going to go through it real quick, just simple outline of these short verses here. And going to look more deeply at this maiden mentioned here, just a very short mention of her, very short ministry she had. She made a big impact. Number one, we see Naaman's stance. There in verse number one, who is he? Now, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, he was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Naaman has quite the record, quite the resume. He's a captain of the host. He has his great military background. He's conquered many enemies. He is honorable. It says even the Lord had used him to give deliverance. You say, Lord, use Naaman. At this point, he's a lost man. The Lord can do whatever he wants to do. The Lord used the donkey before it with Balaam. Surely he can use Naaman. The Bible says if we don't praise him, the rocks will cry out. If God can use a rock and God can use a donkey, God apparently can use Naaman as well. So Naaman has been used, not of his own will. God put him in that position, made it happen. God didn't use him to deliver a nation of Syria. He was mighty man in valor, but he had a problem. He was a leper. Leprosy in the Bible is often a picture of sin. I believe we can see that in this passage here as well, a picture of sin. Naaman is a strong man, an honorable man, morally a strong man, physically a strong man. To everyone around him, he's a good man. It says he's a man of valor. He's done a good work. He has stood strong for his country. He's a captain of the host, for goodness sake. Just like a lowly man in the street, Naaman is not immune to the disease of leprosy. As high a standard as he was, he has the same disease everybody else is capable of getting. Just like us today, I don't care how morally right you are. I don't care how strong you are, how good you think you are. You are just as capable of sin as a drunk man in the street is. Position does not matter with sin. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. We all need cleansing. Naaman, just like everybody else could, he found himself in a hopeless situation. Anybody here tonight has ever been there before? Have you ever seen yourself in a hopeless situation before God? Have you ever realized that you are a lost sinner before God, in need of cleansing, in need of salvation? If not, you better get that right now. It doesn't matter how good you are, what you have accomplished, or what military background you have, like Naaman here, we're all sinners before God. So you see Naaman's stance. He had a history, he had a resume, but he's still just as sick as the next guy was. Still needs some help. Still needs cleansing. We see Naaman's stance. We see the maid's solution. First off, we see her tale, or her history. Verse number two. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. So what we have here, this little maid, that phrase just means what you think it means. It means a young or a small girl, a little girl, a little maid. A maid, the word there just means any female between an infant and a young adult. A little girl is what she was. So don't know how young. She was just young, young girl. This young girl has been taken captive out of the land of Israel. We started this out by saying, why do bad things happen to good people? That good person I'm talking about is this little maid. Can we all agree that being stolen in a war, being taken captive in a war by a foreign army and taken away to another land and being made a slave, can we all agree that's a bad thing to happen to a good person? That's really a bad thing for anybody, especially for a little maid. I imagine this little girl had a home and had parents. The Bible doesn't tell us anything about it other than what we read here. Was her entire family taken captive? Possibly. We don't know that. It may have been just her. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. The point of it is, she's not in a good situation. Been ripped from her home with her family, without her family. We don't know. But she's ripped from her home there in Israel, taken to the nation of Syria and placed in the household of Naaman to be his wife's servant. She's been stolen by a foreign enemy of Israel, Syria, taken captive and made a slave. Now I'm going to ask you something. Did God allow this to happen? You better believe he did. Israel is his people, his chosen people. Nothing's going to happen to anybody, you would think, especially to his own people, without him allowing it. Just as God allowed Job to go through trials, believe God allowed this to happen just as much. He had to. You might say, that's just not fair. In our eyes, you're right. In our humanistic eyes, you are not right. That is not fair. But God, in God's eyes, it's part of his plan. Why did bad things happen to good people? Why was this little maiden stolen from her home country and placed to the home of the captain of the host of Syria? Why did that happen? Because God allowed it to happen. Part of his plan. Keep looking here. We see her testimony. Not only her tale, but her testimony. Verse number three. And she said to her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but that doesn't sound to me like someone who is bitter or hating her captors. The little girl said, would God that my Lord, talking about Naaman, were with a prophet that's in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. We know from the passage she's talking about Elisha. The little maid tells her captor, her mistress, Naomi's wife. She says, would God Naaman were back home with Elisha so he could be healed. She's wanting Naaman to be healed. Now, I'm not trying to add anything to the scripture that's not here, but you notice her attitude, you notice her testimony. She did not have a prisoner's attitude or prisoner's outlook. She wanted Naaman, her captor, to be healed. Apparently, her relationship with her mistress was a pretty good one, especially if she can freely talk about the prophets back home in her own country. There's a lot we can learn here from this little girl. Her trial did not change her testimony. We talked a lot about that in James before. The hard things she went through, she still has the right attitude. She still has a pleasant spirit. She still is kind of, and apparently, built a relationship enough with the wife of Naomi to be able to talk to her about her past, talk to her about what she knows about the Lord. She kept her testimony. Be careful that in the hard times, those bad things that happen to good people, if that's you, be careful you don't lose your testimony in the midst of it. You can go through a trial and you can still have joy. I don't mean it's always fun and games and happy-go-lucky, but don't get me wrong. You can have joy in your heart in the midst of a trial. Because God's in control. Watch your testimony. Watch your attitude. How many times how many times do we have the wrong attitude? Someone asks us, what's wrong? Oh, it's just a bad day. Oh, it's just, I'm doing fine under the circumstances. Get out from underneath your circumstances and be okay. Have a better attitude. Watch your testimony. In the midst of her trial, her testimony, her attitude was right. We see her tenderness. Not only her testimony and her tale, but her tenderness, she still cared for Naaman. She wanted to see Naaman healed. I don't know how many of us would feel that same way. I probably wouldn't myself. The one who was responsible for you being ripped from your home, she still wants him to go see Elisha and get healed. There's a lot we can learn from this little girl. See her tenderness, we see her trust. She knew God was the answer. She's been ripped from Israel. She's been placed in Syria. She's placed in the home of Naaman. There's no telling what kind of idolatry is all around her there in Syria. Yet she still trusts in the God of heaven and his prophets. She didn't let her atmosphere change her trust in God. She saw somebody in trouble. She saw someone in a hopeless situation. She said, you know what you need? You need to get in touch with God. Yeah. Don't let your trial, don't let your hard time, let your atmosphere affect your trust in God. Truth be told, when we go through trials and we're stressed and we're in a tough situation, witnessing to somebody else, telling somebody else about how God can help them is the last thing on our agenda most of the time. Maybe it's just me. You're looking at me weird. Is that true or not? When you're stressed, you're having a hard day, bad day, last thing you want to do is tell somebody about how good God is. That's the last thing on your mind. Lord, this just isn't the time. Oh, I know I should witness to them, but I just don't have the right attitude around it. It just isn't the time. When will it be the time? When are we going to get busy about doing the work for God? This maiden saw a need, and despite her circumstances, despite her trial, despite where she was, she told somebody how they could get in touch with God and be changed. We see the maid's solution. In the midst of her trial, she did not lose her testimony. She did not lose her tenderness, and she did not lose her trust in God. See the maid's solution. See, Naaman sent, verse number 4. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. So word gets out what she said, and they get back to the king about what this little maiden has said. And in turn, Naaman and his servants, a fortune of rewards, are sent to Israel for this man Naaman to be healed. All on the word of a little maiden, just because of what the little girl said. Never underestimate what God can do through you. I don't know that this little maiden meant for it to go this far. I don't know if she knew it would go this far. She said one phrase, would God, my Lord, with the prophets in Israel. With the prophet that is in Samaria. And on that, word gets all the way to the king, and a convoy is sent on his way to Samaria to find this prophet this little girl is talking about, on the way to the king of Israel. You say, well, I can't do much, preacher. I'm just a little girl. I'm just a young boy. I'm just this or just that. Never underestimate what God can do through you. I believe this little maiden was placed in a position for a specific reason. And I believe we're reading about that specific reason right here for such a time as this. I believe she was placed there for this purpose. Imagine that, a young girl getting a foreign king of Syria to send a captain of hosts and a fortune back to Israel on a little girl's word. Why do bad things happen to good people? Many times because God has a purpose for that person, has a reason for them to be where they're at. I believe he had a reason for this little girl to be where she was. We see what happened for him. We see Naaman's sin. Not only Naaman being sent, we see his sin. Verse number 9. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go, wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call in the name of the Lord, his God, strike his hand of a place to recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. I love this passage here. I can just picture Naaman pulling up there at the door of Elisha. His horses and his chariot come rushing in, sliding in, slamming on brakes and jumping out. Elisha says, hey, you over there, go tell Naaman such and such. You messenger, go send a message for me. Elisha didn't even come outside. I believe there are a couple of reasons for this. Number one, Elisha, I believe, didn't want the credit. I believe Elisha went out there and did what Naaman was wanting, called the name of the Lord his God in front of Naaman, and he'll touch the spot and healed him, Elisha would have been praised for it. We know that because later on he's praised for it anyway. At least he would have got the praise for it right then. He'll let you in on a secret. It's not about the prophet. It's not about the preacher. It's not about the pastor. It's about God. It's not about Elisha. Elisha did a work. It was not about him. He didn't want the glory for it. The second reason I believe he didn't come outside was Naaman needed a lesson in humility. Naaman was used to being honored and revered and revered. God is about to heal him from a deadly disease. The last thing he needs is a bigger head. But Naaman, full of pride, gets mad and stomps off. And that's too simple. The preacher won't even come see me. He won't do his job. Does he not realize who I am? What was his sin? Pride, mainly pride. He's full of pride. We have a lot of that in our day and age, don't we? People full of pride. Something my dad taught me, I'm thankful for. We were kids. We had some other people that hang around, and their kids always want to talk about how special they were because that's what their parents told them. I'm special, so I need this and this. My dad told me, you are not that special. You may be special to me and your mom, but nobody else cares. Don't act like that. And I appreciate that. You won't find that in Dr. Spock's baby and child care book. That's the truth. And I'm thankful for that. Believe me, it worked. Some people need some lessons in humility. You're not as important as you think you are. God can use whoever he wants to use. Naaman needs some lessons in humility. We see Naaman was saved. Verse 14. Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like to the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. So his servants come to him in verse 13. We skipped over that verse, but they come and they offer some common sense he desperately needed. Thankfully, he listened to them. He went and did what the man of God said. In the first place, he was healed, of course. He was healed better than he was before he was sick. Remember, this is Naaman, a man of valor, captain of the host of Syria. Been in a few battles before. I imagine Naaman probably has his share of battle scars, his share of calluses and different things on his body, marks from battle. So the verse 14, his flesh came again like into the flesh of a little child. He was healed of everything, of the leprosy, and he's healed of everything else he's been exposed to in his life. He was a changed man. I'm thankful that God can forgive every sin. It doesn't matter who you are or what you have done. If you truly believe in your heart and ask him, the Lord will save you. For whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. He'll save whosoever. Aren't you thankful for that? I'm thankful for that. Maybe you're not. Naaman got past his pride. He went and did as he was told, and he was healed of everything. He was a changed man, washed white as snow. He was cleansed. We see Naaman's sacrifice, verse number 15. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Naaman goes back to Elisha, and he tries his best to pay him and to pay his servant. Elisha wouldn't have any part of it. He said, I will receive none. He said he refused it, verse 16. But notice the change in Naaman. He went from a prideful man expecting the man of God to come swoon over him, his great man of valor. Now he's going back and he's begging the prophet to take payment for what he's done. Notice what else he says. Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. What happened? Naaman had a heart change. Not only outward appearance change, he had a heart change. You have a heart change, you get washed as white as snow like he was, it'll change your outlook too. You start to want to give back too. Naaman not only had his outward appearance healed, he had his heart healed as well. Why? Because a little maiden didn't let her hard times affect her testimony and her tenderness and her trust in God. And so that's all well and good for Naaman, but what about the little girl? If all things work together for good to them that love God, what about a little maiden who's still a captive back in Syria? I don't have some deep doctrinal something you've never heard of before. I don't have any surprise here for you. We don't hear any more about Naaman and his wife's maiden here. Her short story is done in chapter number 5. What she says in verse number 2, And we said in verse number 3, that's all we know about her. That's all we ever hear about her. We can read about him, read about Naaman heading back and Gehazi coming after him. That's a different message for another day. The end of this chapter here. But after the deal with Gehazi, I believe Naaman went back home. That's where he was headed. Naaman's going home, saved from death, saved from hell's way. He says he believed in the true God of Israel. All this happened because a little maiden had the burden to tell Naaman's wife about Elisha. You can't convince me there was not some reward for that little maiden. Naaman went immediately back and tried to pay Elisha and freely gives to Gehazi after when Gehazi is lying to him later in the chapter. How much more do you think he would have given to a little maiden who started the entire process? If it were not for her, none of this would have happened. There's no secret who started. She told Naaman's wife. They knew where it came from. Personally, believe she was rewarded for it. I imagine a little maiden probably lived a good life in the home of Naaman. The little maiden lived in the home of Naaman. I don't know how long she lived. I don't know how long she stayed there in the home. Maybe she was set free. I don't know. But if even of all that is not true, and I don't know if it's a fact or not because the Bible doesn't tell us. She may have never gotten any reward for it. I don't know. I believe she probably did. The Bible doesn't say. But if she didn't, the fact that Naaman was changed, the fact that he now believes in the God of heaven, really ought to be good enough. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. It says work together for good. Is Naaman believing in God not a good thing? Not every one of our stories is going to end in prosperity and blessings beyond measure. Some of the greatest Christians and missionaries to ever live died in basically poverty. For good does not necessarily mean rich and living in a palace like Joseph was. Good might mean winning someone to God that nobody else could win. Good might mean doing a work for God nobody else could do. Good might mean keeping your testimony despite your trial, witnessing to your master. My point tonight is we don't always know what that good is. God always has a plan. You know the best news? Whether we're rewarded here on earth or not, this world is not our home. Not my home, just passing through. You know that song, our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I don't know the end to all of our trials here on earth. I don't know the end to all those bad things that happen to good people. I don't know the end to this little maiden, but I can promise you, God does. Matthew 10:29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows. God knows what you're going through, and God cares. You can trust him. You can trust God. You can trust his plan. It may not seem fair. It may not seem like everything's going to work out. God has a plan. Why do bad things happen to good people? Sometimes it may just be to get them in the position to be used of God to reach somebody else. I don't know the end of this maiden, but I can tell you one thing. She changed Naaman's life because of where she was. She changed Naaman's life because of her attitude, because of her testimony, because of her trust in God. I don't know her end, but I know what she accomplished there in the meantime. Is Romans 8:28 still true? You better believe it is. For good might not be for us. And that's hard to swallow. It's not what we want to hear. It's not what I want to hear. It may be the truth. Not all good is measured in dollars and cents. If you ask me, this little maiden accomplished a lot of good in her life, even as a little maiden. Changed the life of Naaman because of her testimony.